Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 326 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Today's main story: Biden's new COVID czar is known among Democrats as a problem solver. But will that be enough for the job ahead? But first, here's what happened in virus news today. AstraZeneca and the University of Oxford are planning to have a re-engineered shot that protects against new mutations available by the fall. The more protective vaccine would come just in time for another round of immunizations that may be required before next winter. Andrew Pollard, chief investigator of the Oxford trials, said switching out the genome sequence, manufacturing, and completing new studies for a vaccine against variants should be fairly quick. A new study shows promising signs for the immunity of people who have been infected with COVID-19. According to a report by UK Biobank, a major biomedical database, some 88% of participants who tested positive for a previous infection retained antibodies for 6 months. At 3 months, the number was 99%. The results follow other, smaller studies that indicate some level of immunity for at least 6 months after a natural infection. Finally, Mexico's health agency approved Russia's Sputnik V vaccine for emergency use. That's according to Deputy Health Minister Hugo López-Gatell, who spoke at a press conference today. The country has secured 1.4 million doses of the vaccine through March. Mexico is betting on close to 55 million total vaccine doses by the end of April. The nation was the first to start vaccinating in Latin America, but fell behind others in the region after a delay in Pfizer shipments.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight: athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
And now for today's main story. Joe Biden's new COVID-19 czar is a former business executive and Biden ally named Jeff Zients, who is little known to most Americans. Zients doesn't have a medical or military background, like the two men who ran Operation Warp Speed, the Trump administration's vaccine delivery program. I spoke to reporter Anna Edney, who says the posting will test Zients' reputation with Democrats in Washington as the go-to guy when things go awry. There's a new face to the Biden administration's policy to beat COVID-19 in the U.S., but to many Americans, it's not exactly a familiar one. I was wondering if you might just tell us, who is Jeff Zients?
Sure. He's somebody who has worked behind the scenes a lot in government, actually, but hasn't really been kind of the main face of some of his efforts, like he is now out in front on this COVID response for the Biden administration. But Jeff Zients actually started his career on the business side. He was doing some consulting and stepped into the Obama administration, actually, after a pretty successful business career. And he was Obama's first chief performance officer. It was a new position that the administration had created to try and get government running a little more smoothly, tackle big things like the hiring process, the procurement process. Zients ended up also doing some work at the Office of Management and Budget for the White House. And he had left government for a little bit, very shortly. And then in 2013, healthcare.gov, which was Obama's signature domestic issue, trying to get health insurance to more people. This was the website that let them sign up. It launched in October of 2013. It crashed, and Zients was called in to come and fix it, to get the people together to fix it. He doesn't have experience really in kind of the medical world, but he's known as somebody who can pull people together, find the right people to do the job, get them motivated, keep people on time, and get it done. And that's why he's been called back at this point now that Democrats are back in the White House.
You know, hearing the term COVID czar, one might be forgiven to think that someone would need a medical background for this role. But of course, as you mentioned, Jeff Zients does not have a medical background. I was wondering if you might outline some of the responsibilities he's going to be involved with in being the COVID czar.
So as the COVID czar, he is going to, first off, be tackling the vaccine issue. I talked to Andy Slavitt, who also worked in the Obama administration and now has come back as an advisor to Biden's COVID response task force, who said that vaccines are the biggest focus right now for the team. Obviously, there's a lot of other things they need to work on, but getting vaccines out to Americans will be number one. And so Zients is going to have to focus on things like ramping up manufacturing. There's a lot of concern that we won't have enough of the vaccines soon enough. It's been kind of a slow rollout. But there's other things that he'll be looking at too, and that's testing, sequencing of the virus, because we're seeing all these variants coming. So the U.S. is trying to check for variants that are happening and see if they can sequence the virus many, many times a day as samples come in. And so he has a pretty big task. One of the things people will be looking for is how he might use the Defense Production Act to get a lot of these things done. Syringes are needed for vaccines. More vaccines themselves are needed.
Some people have criticized this appointment because of Zients' business background, specifically a group called the Revolving Door Project, an arm of the Center for Economic and Policy Research that scrutinizes executive branch appointees. Tell me more about that.
The Revolving Door Project took a deep dive into some of his past work. To come on to the Biden administration, Zients recently resigned from a private investment firm called Cranmere that had a healthcare, focus. And so their concern at the Revolving Door Project was less about Zients himself and more about someone who kind of has held his business positions before. They didn't really know as much about him per se, but were concerned that someone with those kind of ties would not be able to kind of deal with the business community in a direct enough way. And that obviously remains to be seen, but Zients has been pretty adamant that he will use the Defense Production Act to get supplies where they're needed.
And I mean, is there any worry that he is too friendly to businesses, essentially, that he will not kind of force their hand in doing something, certainly when it comes to the pandemic, for the national good rather than, say, the bottom line?
Yeah, I think that's the concern that the Revolving Door Project has, is he won't want to ask companies to do things they don't want to do, or he won't want to force companies to do things they don't want to do. Obviously, there's a great need for certain supplies to address this pandemic. And it's hard on companies to make a switch to making things that they don't normally make, or to take some things offline that they make a lot of money off of, to make things that they might not make a lot of money off of for the greater good. The concern is that he's friendly enough with businesses that he won't want to force their hand in that way.
What are some benchmarks that will indicate whether or not Zients is a success in the role?
You know, the administration has targeted closer to really more the end of the year for everyone to be able to get their vaccines. Access would come sooner, but just, you know, given the time it would take for everyone to get one, will be closer to the end of the year. And so I think we're looking out further along those lines to see if there's a return to some sort of normal before the year is out is probably his main benchmark. But there are other things, other numbers that will pop up along the way. The sequencing of the virus, the U.S. was not doing a lot of that under the Trump administration. So they weren't potentially catching variants as soon as they got to, you know, U.S. soil. They're now trying to increase that. So, you know, we can kind of track the number of samples of the virus that are sequenced on a daily basis. Testing is another thing. You know, there's been a lot of complaints about testing times, wait times once you do get a test. So that's something that people are still keeping an eye on.
That was Anna Edney. And that's it for our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Magnus Henriksen, and me, Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by Anna Edney. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Rick Schein and Francesca Levy. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.